Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate your birth tonight and ask that you would speak to us through these words now. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Please be seated. Little Johnny desperately wanted an Xbox for Christmas, so he had talked to his friends, and his friends had written letters to Santa Claus, and so he thought he would do one better, and he decided to write a letter to Jesus. So he said, "Dear Jesus, if you'll give me an Xbox for Christmas, I promise I won't fight with my brother Hank anymore, the whole year." Then he thought about it for a moment, and he realized, "Well, that's going to be awful hard to do. I mean, my brother Hank is a brat, so there's just no way I'm going to be able to go the whole year without fighting with him." So he wadded up that letter and got out another piece of paper and began to write a second letter. And he wrote, "Dear Jesus, if you'll give me an Xbox, I promise to eat all of my vegetables all year." Well, then he thought about that. He thought, "Wait a minute now. I mean, I don't like spinach and broccoli and any of those things, so I'm not going to be able to keep that promise the whole year." So he wadded up that piece of paper. And so he had a brainstorm, and he went downstairs, and he looked up on the mantel in his living room, and there was a statue of the Virgin Mary. And so he took the statue down, and he took it upstairs and wrapped it in a towel and put it in a paper bag and put it in the darkest recesses of his closet. And then he sat down to write a third letter, and he wrote this: "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again..." Well, speaking of mothers, that reminded me of a mother that was shopping, last-minute shopping, Christmas shopping, and she had lost track of her three-year-old son. So she nervously backtracked where she had come from, and she found him in a store window with his nose pressed up against the window looking at a manger scene. When she called his name, he said, "Mom, look, it's baby Jesus. Baby Jesus is laying in the hay." And so she ran up to him, grabbed him, and said, "We don't have time for any of that. Can't you see that your mother is trying to get ready for Christmas?" Well, sometimes when we think about getting ready for Christmas, we only think about it in terms of shopping or getting our meals all ready to go or anything like that. But in reality, the best way we can prepare for Christmas, I think, is really what we're doing today, by gathering together to worship. Certainly, if you read only the Christmas story that we heard in our gospel lesson today, you might think that it's only about angels talking to shepherds and going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger and having the angels tell them this is the Christ, the Lord. But there's so much more to the story, and certainly more to why Jesus came to this earth. In order to really understand fully why Christ came to this earth, we really have to go all the way back to Genesis. Because back in Genesis, God created human beings for a purpose. That purpose was to have a relationship with Him. And what happened is that Adam and Eve, of course, as in their fall, separated us from God. We no longer were able to have that sort of relationship with God because of sin entering into the world. And so the book of Genesis tells us that Jesus was going to come for a particular purpose. It talks about the fact that there is someone who is going to come who would crush the head of Satan, but Satan would bruise his heel. We understand that that's really talking about Jesus Christ coming to this world to ultimately conquer evil, but in the process being nailed to a cross. So as we see the whole purpose of Christ coming to this world, we begin to realize that there was so much in the Old Testament that predicted His arrival. So many prophecies of the Old Testament that talked about what not only His coming, but also what He would do when He was here. In fact, Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies of the Old Testament. One of those prophecies is what we heard this morning when we're told that there's going to come someone who will be a wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace. We're also told that this one that is going to come is going to be born of a virgin, and that one who is going to be born of a virgin would come to save His people from their sin. When it was time for the Savior to arrive, the Apostle John tells us that He wasn't created in the womb of the Virgin Mary. But in fact, he had existed from all eternity. He lived with the Father as the Word of God for all eternity. But then he made the decision to come down to this earth and to be born a little baby. And as he was born into this world, it says that he laid aside all of the rights and privileges that went along with being God and chose to become a human being. He chose to relate to his Father in heaven as we are to relate to our Father in heaven. And so as Jesus came to this earth, the angel early on in the Christmas story tells the Virgin Mary that he will be the Son of God and that he will be conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. It's a miraculous conception, and it meant that God would become a human being. As the child grew in the womb of the Virgin Mary, we get glimpses of his greatness even before he was born. John the Baptist, Father Zechariah, prophesied about the coming of the Messiah and how John the Baptist would prepare the way for his coming. The miraculous events that caused Mary and Joseph to leave their town, the town in which they live, and go to Bethlehem for Christ to be born happened so that an ancient prophecy of Micah could be fulfilled about the birthplace of the Messiah. When you think about the Christmas story, you think that it's really all about Jesus. And in many ways it is. Sometimes we often hear people say we need to keep Christ in Christmas, or we need to keep the focus of Christmas on Christ. And in many ways that's true. There was at Christmas time a number of years ago, I saw a man with a sweatshirt on, and it said this: "I am the reason for the season." I thought to myself, man, that's not right. Jesus is the reason for the season. I mean, why would he wear a sweatshirt like that? "I'm the reason for the season." I mean, that just kind of reflects the selfishness of the society in which we live, doesn't it? But then the Lord kind of spoke to me, I think, and said, you know, he didn't actually have that totally wrong. Because if you think about it, Jesus came into this world for a particular purpose. He came to live the perfect life that we could not live. He came to die on the cross to pay for the sins that we couldn't pay for. He rose again from the dead, appearing to over 500 people during the course of his appearances over a 40-day period, showing that he was in fact the Savior that he claimed to be, and that he was in fact the one who could provide the eternal life that he promised to all those who put their trust in him. So you see, the reason for the Christmas season is, of course, Jesus Christ, but the fact that he came to this earth for us. God so loved us that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When Jesus came, he came to give us the greatest present we could ever receive. And that present, of course, is eternal life. That present is the fact that he would be with us always on this earth, and the fact that he would provide a home for us in heaven, and he would provide for us the salvation of our souls. Why did he do that? Well, the Bible tells us he did it because he loves us. God loves us. And he loves us so much that he would be willing to give the greatest gift that he could give for us. There was a man who punished his 3-year-old daughter for going through a whole roll of gold wrapping paper trying to wrap a present. And he said, you know, we don't have a whole lot of money and things are really tight right now. And so he really got on his daughter for wasting this paper. And she was just trying to wrap a present to put under the tree. And so the next morning, Christmas morning, she brought out this package, this present in the gold wrapping paper. And he really felt kind of embarrassed at his overreaction the night before, and so he apologized to her for that, and then he unwrapped the present, and he got angry all over again because there was nothing inside of the box. And so he said, you know, if you give a present to someone, you should put something inside of it. And she looked up at him with tears in her eyes, and she said, "Daddy, that box is not empty. I blew kisses into it, all for you, Daddy." Well, he was, of course, crushed, and he hugged her and just told her how much he loved her. Well, just a short while later, that little girl died in an accident. And the father had said, kept that box, that gold box with gold wrapping paper, next to his bed. And whenever he became discouraged, he would take out the box and open it up and take out a kiss to remind him of the love that his daughter had for him. God sent us a box, if you will. Sent us love in this book, this Bible. And this Bible tells us all about the love that God has for us, because it tells us all about Jesus Christ. This Bible also provides a way for us to really go through our lives and to help us during times of discouragement, during times in which we're fearful. The Scriptures can help us in the times that we really feel lonely or abandoned, times when we really just don't have the Christmas spirit. These Scriptures really are God's love letter to us. And so I would encourage you, if you really haven't made a commitment to reading the Scriptures, you can read them, because they not only tell us about Jesus, but they also give us a lot of great advice of how we are to live our lives. So I would encourage you, as we continue on with our worship, to not only remember that Jesus is the reason for the season, but that also you are the reason for the season as well, because Jesus came to give his life for you and for me. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the ability to have a relationship with the Father, and that we can do so by putting our trust in you and inviting you to come into our lives. Lord, as we turn away from everything that we know is wrong and invite you to come in, you promise to give us not only eternal life, but the forgiveness of all of our sins. Lord, we thank you that you promise to be with us always, even to the end of our lives and the end of the age. Lord, I ask that you would help us not just to remember the significance of your birth on one day a year, but rather to remember it throughout this year, so that we can appreciate what you've done for us in your death and ultimately in your resurrection. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for us. We thank you for the gift that you've given to us. In your name we pray. Amen.